2 Thessalonians chapter 2, beginning at verse 1. Now we beseech you, brethren, by the coming of our Lord Jesus Christ, and by our gathering together unto him, that ye be not soon shaken in mind, or be troubled, neither by spirit, nor by word, nor by letter, as from us, that the day of Christ is at hand. Let no man deceive you by any means, for that day shall not come except there come a falling away first, and that man of sin be revealed, the son of perdition, who opposeth and exalteth himself above all that is called God, that is worshipped, so that he as God sitteth in the temple of God, showing himself that he is God. Remember ye not that when I was yet with you, I told you these things? And now you know what withholdeth, that he might be revealed in his time. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work. Only he who now liveth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy the brightness of his coming. Even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, because they received not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. And for this cause God shall send them strong delusion, that they should believe a lie, that they all might be damned, who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. I'm trying to preach. What does the future hold? Now, what's in the front of us? There's been a lot of great events took place in the history of man, and we could preach on about any of them. Everybody knows about the flood, about the Tower of Babel, about the destruction of Sodom and Gomorrah. A lot of great events that's happened. But I think the greatest events is yet to come. Now, if you study the scripture as a whole, you find out by right of dividing the scriptures that there's going to be a catching away of the saints of God. Of course, you have to get in Paul's epistles to find that, because he received the revelation of the mystery of the church age. The church is a dispensation all to itself. When the Lord's making a joint body of both Jew and Gentile, and the church comes in as a mystery, and it goes out as a mystery. It's like the resurrection wasn't a mystery, really. In the Old Testament, saints believe in the resurrection, and even in the gospel books, they believe in the resurrection. But there's a mystery part of the resurrection. 1 Corinthians 15:51, Paul said, behold, I show you a mystery. A mystery is something that's been kept secret up to now. And Paul said, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. The moment we come out, the last trumpet, the trumpet shall sound. Death shall be raised incorruptible, and we shall be changed. Talk about mortal, putting on immortality, and all that. So actually what he's saying, there's a mystery part. And he shows there that all the saints are not going to die. We shall not all sleep. There are going to be some living saints here when Jesus comes for the church. I think most of the saints, of course, have all gone on, and they're asleep. They're asleep right now. We shall all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In other words, you can read the verses that talks about the Lord's coming and look at his promises that he made that he was going to come. And 1 Thessalonians 4 is a popular one, verses 16 through 18. The Lord himself shall descend from heaven with a shout, with the voice of the archangel, the trumpet of God. The dead in Christ shall rise first. Now, I believe this. I think if you look at it, when the Lord comes for the church, he comes by himself. If you back up in chapter 1 of 2 Thessalonians, he's talking about his revelation coming, and he said the Lord is going to come with his mighty angels in flaming fire, taking vengeance on them that know not God, them that obey not the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ. They're going to be punished with everlasting destruction. See, that's when the Lord comes in judgment. He comes with angels. Angels are connected when he comes in judgment. Actually, angels was always connected when he appeared to Israel, like at his birth. The angels sang to the shepherds there, and at his tomb, angels were there. Angels were there when he went back to heaven, Acts chapter 1. When he comes for the church, he comes as a bridegroom for a bride. The Lord himself descends from heaven with a shout. With the voice of archangel, the temple of God, dead in Christ rise first, we the living saints to be changed and caught together with them. And the Bible says in 1 Corinthians 15 there, it's going to be in a moment, a twinkling of an eye. In other words, it'll be faster than we can even imagine. Be faster than we can imagine. We caught up to meet the Lord in the clouds and air forever to be with the Lord. Comfort one another with these words. Now, I believe the scripture teaches that the church is to look for Jesus to come, the real Christ. The Bible don't tell us to look for the Antichrist. We know that he's coming, but it wouldn't be any rejoicing to look for the Antichrist. It'd be depressing. But it's rejoicing and encouraging to look for the Christ. He's the one that's coming for us. And he's coming himself, coming for himself. And the dead in Christ is going to rise first. I'm looking for that. The Bible said in Colossians chapter 3, the first two or three verses there, if you then be risen with him, seek those things which are above, where Christ is on the right hand of God. Set your affection on things above, and on things above, for you are dead. That is, as far as God's concerned, you're dead, and your life is hid with Christ in God. When Christ, who is alive, shall appear, then shall you also appear with him in glory. So it's going to be in a moment of twinkling of an eye. As far as God's concerned, we're dead. As far as the Lord's concerned, we got crucified with Christ. He ruled us dead. He's not trying to improve on the flesh. We're supposed to be trying to perfect the flesh if we can. Of course, you can't perfect the flesh, but you can do better than we're doing. We're to reckon ourselves dead indeed unto sin and alive unto God. God don't give us any leeway to sin at all. What shall we say then? Shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? God forbid. Just because you're saved by grace, that don't mean that you have a license to sin. That means that you're dead to sin. And you're to reckon yourself dead to sin. And every man hath this hope in him. 1 John 3. Behold, what manner of blood the Father bestowed upon us. We should be called the sons of God. Therefore, the world knoweth us not, because we are not beloved. Now are we the sons of God. It doesn't yet appear what we shall be, but we know when he shall appear, we should be like him, for we shall see him as he is. And every man hath this hope in him, purifieth himself. In other words, if you believe Jesus might come tonight, you're going to try to be living a pure life. You're not hopping up and around with the papers of the devil, laying out of church, cussing the preacher, and buying lottery tickets if you believe Jesus is coming. Now, of course, they close you out a lot of places if you say that. See, if you say that, they say, well, I think there's a lot of folks out there saved just won't live right. If you're not in pursuit of holiness, you don't have any proof that you're saved. Amen. If you don't have any desire to do right, any desire, we can't do as well as we'd like to, but our desire is to do right. Paul said, the will is present with me. How to perform that which is good, I find out. Some of them have a hard time finding what I should do, but I have a will to do the will of God. Amen. And we know some things of the will of God. We know it's the will of God for us to assemble the New Testament Christians. We know it's the will of God for us to pray. We know it's the will of God for us to read the Bible. We know it's the will of God for us to live holy. Don't even have to pray about that. We know that it's the will of God. God's made known to us some things we know we're supposed to do. Now, other things, personally, I might have a problem finding the perfect will of God concerning a certain matter, but the overall lifestyle is walking in the Spirit now. We don't walk out of grace, walk out of the Spirit. We've been crucified with Christ. Is that right? Jesus is coming, and we're to rejoice in hope. Because we're outward man saved by hope. Inward man saved by grace. But we're saved by hope. Romans 8. Is that 23 or 4 there? The hope that is seen, the hope what a man says. Why do you have hope for it? So we're hoping to be saved outside. We're already saved inside. And we're rejoicing in hope of the glory of God. We rejoice because we have a hope that we're going to get a glorified body. I don't have to feel good to rejoice in hope. I don't have to be in a good mood. I rejoice in the hope I have anywhere, anytime. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through the Lord Jesus Christ. When we also have access by faith into this grace wherein we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. I'm hoping to get a new body. I'm already new inside. But outside, we rejoice in hope. We have a hope in the resurrection. Jesus, if in this life only we have hope in Christ, we're all men most miserable. But now it's Christ risen from the dead and become the first fruit in the step. So the hope is we're going to get a new body outside. How long has it been since you rejoiced in hope? Rejoice about something's going to happen to resurrection. Jesus is coming. The dead in Christ is going to rise first. Living saints going to be changed. You can rejoice on that anytime, anywhere, if you have the hope inside. Amen. You know, the lost world that knows the Lord, they're dying to be around some folks that's happy and rejoicing because they have a bright future to look forward to. Amen. We got a bright future. Now, I know I'm the world's worst to look at everything bad. You know, I was thinking about the news today. Bad news sells. Good news don't sell. Bad news sells. The gospel is good news. Ain't nobody wants to hear that. Everybody wants to know. And you know, the bad news, boy, everybody's tuning in. You heard any news today? You know anything about the bad news? What that fellow did? What the other fellow did? What Trump did? What Obama did? What Hillary did? And all that stuff? Well, I try to listen to that every once in a while. But God, help us to quit looking at Washington. That's not our hope. If you knew the corruption that's in the political places, you wouldn't sleep. I'm glad we don't know. You wouldn't sleep tonight. I'm glad we need to be trying to find out how good it is where we're going and realize that we're not part of this world system. We're in the world, but we're not of the world. Don't drive your stake down too far. You're not here for long. You may leave out just any time. So I'm going to keep on by the grace of God every day. I determined a few years ago, I'm going to try to think about Jesus coming. I'm going to get a new body, fashion like I'm His body. No more problems, no more heartache, no more pain, no more disappointment, no more discouragement. And praise God, rejoice, because soon we'll be there. And we could be there the next minute. Jesus may come. And we're supposed to be looking for Him. And it's pictured right there. Is that Hebrews 11:5? Enoch was translated and should not see death and was not found. That denotes that they looked for Him. He wasn't not found, for God translated him. He had this testimony for his translation that he pleased God. You know, that'd be a pretty good testimony, wouldn't it? That he pleased God. He pleased God. That's what I want to do, is please God. I want you to take it. I want you to help you. I want you to grow in grace. But I'm more interested in pleasing God than I'm pleasing myself. I'm pleasing my wife. I'm pleasing anybody else. I want to please God. You know, you're not going to be popular with this moral system. You're not going to be popular with the religious world if you please God. The biggest part of the church world don't know nothing about God. They don't know, scripturally speaking, they got religion running out their ears, making everybody religious without Christ, but it will be interested in pleasing God. Walking to please God. I think I could preach a message on pleasing God. Well, to please God in the way we talk. Well, to please God in the way we walk. Well, to please God in the way we dress. Well, to please God in the places we go. I have to go in some places I wish I didn't have to go. You can't even go in to buy gasoline now. And you don't have to look at beer and lottery tickets and indecency of all kinds now. Ain't that right? Does it tick in your heart to go in there? Did I tell you? If I didn't, I should. I'll tell you again. I was going home from a meeting not too long ago and stopped to get me a Coke. Kind of stay awake. Had 100 miles to go. And a fellow right in front of me, and he had a 6-pack of beer and he wanted a carton of Marlboro. And I stood there, and they said, 60. I know it was over $60. And you know what I did? I said, thank you, Lord. If it wasn't for the grace of God, I'd be buying that stuff. $60-something for a carton of cigarettes and a carton of beer. Two things you don't need is that. Is that right? Amen. Thank God I got saved from that stuff. Amen. Now, I got saved from sin. 1957, and a little bit later I got saved from cigarettes. Now, sometimes you have to get saved. After you get saved, one of the biggest lies the devil's ever told us is that we got all we need when we got saved. Now, you got all you need to get to heaven, but you're not in heaven yet. So you need to be saved on. You need to be saving yourself.
Amen.
You can save yourself outwardly. You can save yourself inside, but you can save yourself from a lot of problems by doing right.
Good.
Can't you do it?
Amen.
Yes, sir. I thank God that He saved me from smoking cigarettes. You say, you haven't on me? No, I'm just telling you, anything that good ought not to be burned up. It ought to be chewed. And ought not to be spit out if it's that good. I know, it's habit forming. Somebody said, well, one old preacher told me, of course, he was a smoker and lived and died. Probably died premature because he smoked. But he's a good fella. And I remember when about everybody smoked. I mean, about women and kids and all. But anyway, he said this young preacher started preaching, and he's just burning the woods up, you know, preaching. And the other old fella, he's mainly preaching against tobacco. The young preacher was, because he didn't use tobacco, and he's preaching against it all the time. He went over to this old fellow that used tobacco, and he said, I don't understand here. He said, I just started preaching. He said, the Lord wants me to just preach on tobacco all the time. And so you've been preaching, and you're still using tobacco. And said, you're preaching more effect than mine is. He said, well, son, I learned many years ago, it's better off to preach the gospel and use tobacco than it is to preach tobacco and use the gospel. There's a whole lot of truth in that. So our problem, and I say this, and I'm against tobacco, but our problem's deeper than tobacco. Our problem deeper than that. Our problem is a heart problem. So thank God for the precious hope, the blessed hope. I'm happy I have that, aren't you? So there's going to be a catching away. And there's going to be a falling away. Now, we're in a falling away to a certain extent. We think it's bad. It is bad, but you haven't seen anything yet. And it's going to get so much worse while we're here, probably, and so much worse after we leave here. Now, where we're at right now, 2 Timothy 3. This know also in the last days, perilous times shall come. Misery lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce beggars, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, because of those that are good, traitors, heady, high minded, lovers of pleasures, more than lovers of God, having the form of God, but denying the power of God. We're there now. The church is there now. But after the church leaves out here, after the church leaves out, there's going to be a total moral breakdown. It's bad now, but the whole world has been set up to accept sodomy and same-sex marriage. They're doing it in most places. And it's going to be like Sodom and Gomorrah was. Now, one fellow said to me a while back, said, it's as bad as Sodom and Gomorrah. And I said, no, it's not that bad yet. There wasn't even 10 in those cities. There wasn't sodomites. There's more than that, a whole lot more than that here tonight. So it's not that bad yet, but it'll be that bad after we leave. Be that bad after we leave, it's going to be falling away, total moral breakdown, a total marriage breakdown. That's what they're working on now. They're setting up an anti-Christ kingdom now, before we leave out here. And if the stage, I believe the stage is going to be set and ready for the Antichrist. As soon as the church leaves out, it's going to fall right into that system. And we better praise God that we're not part of it. I thank God that I got saved. Listen, there's going to be a total moral breakdown. There's going to be a total religious breakdown. See, they're coming down right now on religious people everywhere, especially Christians. You don't dare to be a Bible Christian around most of these places. You can do it like this. You can be a terrorist, a Muslim, but don't you get out there and talk about loving Jesus Christ and preaching the gospel. And they're totally against that, even down to the states and counties now. I heard yesterday, had to take some kind of a sign about the Lord off the wall because a bunch of perverts was against it. Political perverts. You heard me right. I said political perverts. That's what they are. Anti-God, anti-Bible, anti-America. And I'm against the whole outfit. Not cry loud and spare not. This country is founded on the principles of the Word of God. If it hadn't been for God, His grace, His Word, we wouldn't be here saved tonight. Praise God. The old-timers had it right. Praise God. They believed in the Bible, and they believed in old-time religion, and they preached hell hot, and heaven sweet, and the new birth of mess, and I'm going to keep on preaching as long as I preach. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm feeling pretty good right now. Glory to God. religious breakdown. You imagine how it is that the church is going to leave out here? Of course, the world is going to have a terrible worldwide church. That's what they're trying to do now. Oh, this ecumenical crowd, there's not an ounce of that stuff in me. Not one ounce. I'm not joining any kind of ecumenical movement. I was called a few years ago. They were going to have a countywide revival in a certain county, and they wasn't going to preach any doctrine, and they're going to have everybody there, you know, Church of God, Church of Christ, Charismatic, and Mormon, all that stuff. And before he got finished up, I said, "Count me out." He said, "You mean you won't come and help us?" I said, "I mean I won't come and help you." I said, "I'm not telling one sinner out here that he has to repent and be born again, washed in the blood and saved by grace, have a deluded Campbellite coming on telling him he's got to be baptized for salvation." I said, "I'm not yoking up with that stuff." They said, "You won't be popular." Jesus wasn't popular either. John the Baptist wasn't popular. Paul wasn't popular. And you and me won't be popular if we stand for God. You'll be despised by your own kin folks. Your own folks won't come and hear you preach. I've experienced a little bit of that. They said, "Well, he's a radical. I think he's going too far." They're going to think too far when they face God. People's going to find out when they face God. It's a little Sunday morning shout religionism. It's not going to work. It's not going to work for you. Better be born again. Better be washed in the blood. Better be made a new creature. Better be a lover of the Bible and holiness. I believe that's right. Don't you think that's right? Listen, home breakdown. Marriage breakdown, national breakdown, worldwide breakdown. We're sitting on a powder keg right now, on a nuclear powder keg. That's right, that's where we're at right now. The world's filled with fear if you're not saved. But we that are saved, we're not afraid. Praise God, we're more than conquerors. Through him that loves, we can't lose for winning. The battle's been won, praise the Lord. I tell you, resurrection of Jesus Christ has done took place, and his ascension, and we got assured from the Bible, we're heading where he is. Hallelujah. And we're not worried about the breakdown that's taking place. I wish it wasn't so, but it is so. There's not hardly a home that's not been affected by illegal drugs, and some of them prescription drugs. Some people have to take medicine. I'm not a radical on that. I realize that. But look here. You better watch what you take and who you listen to and what doctor you go to. And he'll make you drunk on stuff. That's right. And I know some people hurt. Sometimes I hurt. I don't take anything that I don't have to take as far as the physician's concerned. Well, they said, "Well, you do believe in doctors, don't you?" I said, "Not unless you're sick." And I said, "If you go and you're not sick, they'll make you sick. They'll give you something to make you sick and tell you to come back in 2 weeks. If that don't kill you, we'll give you something else." That's right. Amen. The drug business is the biggest business in the world today. It's the same pharmacy, same word of sorcery. That's what the tribulation will be filled with, sorcery. They're repenting not of their sorceries. I got a friend, a personal friend. He owns a drugstore up here in Kingsport, Tennessee. And he told me, he said, "I sell more of this certain kind of pills," because they come in with prescriptions, "than anybody in the state," they say. They come in there and investigate him. And he said, "Sometimes they come in with prescriptions." He fills the prescription. He said, "Sometimes they send it out here in front of the drugstore. The police makes drug raids in front of his drugstore. They get it and go sell it, and you're paying for them to get it. Got your state insurance. And you got crooked doctors who will write them prescriptions for a little money and kickback. I'm not against doctors, but I'm against crooks. The whole world today is going to get messed up, spaced out." I went to the post office yesterday, and this girl, that's her, all glassy-eyed, looking around, staggering around, said, would you give some money for the hungry?" I said, "That's what I'm doing, begging." I said, "I'm begging people to get her." She said, "Oh, well, okay, okay." I said, "Okay." I just wondered where the cop was. Standing around there looking around, a girl. See, it used to be a girl or a woman never got in jail. Half the crowd in jail. Now it's women, old women, selling drugs. 15, 60 years old. People lined up to get them drugs. God, help us. You ought to shout because you're not wrapped up in that stuff. It could be you know. It could be me. Praise God for old time deliverance. I'm happy I got delivered from this world. I know what it is. And I'm not proud of it. I'm ashamed of it. There'd been many cops then as they are now. I'd have went to penitentiary before I was 20 years old for all the moonshine whiskey. There wasn't two or three cops in the county then. There wasn't that many people, you know. No drugs in our area that we knew about. Little moonshine whiskey because it's a dry county. And they couldn't chase us all. Amen. And you know what? I know, brother. I know what I'm talking about. When you get saved from liquor drinking.
Yeah.
Poker playing.
Yeah.
Guy shooting.
Yeah.
Women chasing.
Amen.
Cussing and blaspheming.
Yeah.
Amen.
Yeah.
You get saved from sin. You don't like the practices of sin. You got a desire inside to stay away from that stuff.
Yeah.
I believe that's right.
Yeah.
This little old shallow stuff, I got to preach on it every time. They make profession and say, well, they didn't come back. Well, don't count them if they don't come back. Did you know God didn't count them if they didn't come back? Read that in Acts chapter 2. These all continued steadfast in the apostles' doctrine, fellowship, breaking the bread. And that was written about 30 years after it happened. What would they say about you 10 years after you professed? 20 years after you professed? It's a blessing. Did I tell you about seeing this fellow over in Kentucky preaching? And it's a day service. Homecoming, I think, or something. And this old boy walked up, you know, looked to be about 50 years old, 45 years old, something. And he hurt my neck. I didn't know him, you know. He said, don't you remember me? I said, I don't believe I remember you. He said, oh, you baptized me down here at Upper Marsh Creek down there. He said, about 30 years ago. I said, boy, I'm glad to see you. Praise God. Well, are you going to church now? He said, well, I haven't been going in a long time. I said, well, I'll help you under till you're bubbled. I said, don't you think you're saved just because I baptized you? Because we baptized on the profession of the faith. They might be real, they might not. We can't see the heart. They say they're saved, we believe it. They want to profess and go to church, we baptize them. That don't mean they're saved. God knows that in the heart, ain't that right? And you know in your heart. So if you ain't going straight 15 years later, don't be talking to me about being saved. I don't believe it myself. You say, well, I think there's some people that get false in their steadfastness, get all messed up. I believe you can get cold and different, fail to pray. But way down inside, when you get around where the Spirit of God's moving, you're going to feel some joy bells of some kind inside. I believe that's right. You're going to, every once in a while, you're going to be stirred in the inner man. The gospel will get to you. I don't care how cold you are if you're saved. Y'all believe that? I've been cold as anybody. I went to church when I didn't have any assurance at all. I say, since I've been saved. You know, working all the time, not being faithful to God. And I'd go and just get in on the back seat and sit down. I was totally defeated. After a while, somebody got to singing in the Spirit, singing them songs about the cross and the blood. Somebody got to testifying in the Spirit. Somebody got to praying in the Spirit. Somebody got to preaching in the Spirit. First thing you know, I felt saved again. First thing you know, when I left there, I had the assurance in my heart, all is well with my soul. Praise God. And once in a while, you might come in defeated. That's the reason we're trying to have spiritual services. So you'll get built up, and you'll get edified, and you'll get stirred in the inner man. You might have to go to the morning bank. We act like there's a booger up at the morning bank. You want to go there. One fellow told me, said, we don't have a morning bank at our church. I said, you don't need a morning bank. You know how to go to mourn. What do you need a bank for? But you better mourn. If you don't mourn over your sins in this world, you mourn over them in the next world. Don't forget it. All Christians that have been born again continue to mourn over their sins. Do you mourn over your sins? That'll tell me whether you're saved or not. If sin bothers you, if disobedience bothers you, you find yourself right back down. Maybe you got a morning bench at home, at church, somewhere. You're going to get down on your knees if you can. I can't get on my knees, but in my heart I do. I bow before God and confess my sins. How long has it been since you confessed your sins? Or do you think you don't have any? Some people think they don't have any sins. You got more sins than anybody. You think you don't have any. How could you live in a messed up world like this? Do like you're doing and think you don't have any sins. Don't be trying to throw me a crib. I'm an old man. Well, if I hadn't done anything, I said, it's a sin to do nothing. People lay out of church, don't go to Sunday school, don't come back on Sunday night, they don't go to wisdom our prayer meeting this, and talk about not doing anything wrong. Ain't that sad how we get the devil's brainwashed us? You want me to preach on that a while? Oh, God, help us. Whoever thought this TV and internet and Facebook and cell, whoever thought we'd get in the shape we're in now? See, we, that's older. When we remember how it was 60 years ago, 50 years ago, 40 years. You know, we remember that. And I've often wondered what some of our folks would think. Say, some of them old saints, say 150 years ago, if they could just come back for one service, what would they think about us? I've thought about that. You know, I knew this fella. I was acquainted with this old preacher. Didn't know him very well before he died up in Kentucky. And he heard Billy Sunday preach a revival in Corbin, Kentucky in 1920. And he said the ladies, before that, their dresses was down just almost on the ground. I remember that my grandmother wore dresses like that all the time. And they had raised the hem length 4 inches up the shoe top. It said the first statement Billy Sunday made when he went in the pulpit in a tent meeting. It said he didn't understand how Corbin, Kentucky kept having a moral breakdown. The women was dressed immodest. What do you reckon he'd say now? I've seen things in immodesty so in Baptist churches and my revivals that you couldn't see for $50 60 years ago in a honky-tonk. That's all. People dressed more modest when I was playing honky-tonk music. That's been about over 60 years ago. They dress more modest then than they do in some churches now. Now, you younger ones can't hardly get that. You don't know how it used to be. That's right. I remember the first woman I ever saw smoke a cigarette in public. Or wear pants in public. Only one in the community I was raising, just one. Everybody knew what she was. I was just a big old boy. Just one. I mean, talking about sinners, church members, and all. They didn't nobody do it. And now we've gone so far the opposite direction that it's just an accepted thing now. And we feel good about it. We know that more marriages is breaking up, most illegitimate births last year than ever, 80-something% I think was illegitimate births. More divorce, all that now. We know that, but we just don't seem to understand what's causing it. I tell you what's causing it, three letters. Sins are causing it. But we don't feel like sin. If you can't prosecute it, they don't think it's sin. The church members now, if you haven't done something the attorney general can take you to court for, they think it's not wrong. They're right. We've accepted this sin, and God frowns on that. That's why we're supposed to examine ourselves. See if we're being the faith. Prove your own selves. Knowing not your own self that Jesus Christ is in you? How do you know Jesus Christ is in you, Mitchell? How do you know Jesus Christ is in you? You ever took a day off to see if you're in the faith? That's what he said do. That's the best Christian that ever lived. He's examining yourself. Talking to the church at Corinth. Examine yourself. Don't examine somebody else. Examine yourself. See if you've been in the faith. Prove your own selves. Take a day off. Take the Bible. Look at the salvation scriptures. And prove to yourself that you have the faith of the Son of God. Amen. Do we not your own selves that Christ Jesus is in you? Except you be reprobates. Except you be rejects. Reprobates. You know what Paul's saying? Though you're in the church, you may be a reprobate, rejected of God. That's why you don't feel bad about any kind of sin or disobedience. People don't feel bad about it now. That scares me. See, it don't scare me so bad for fellow sins, but it scares me if he sins and don't feel bad. That's what bothers me. Sin bothers me. Does it bother you? The sin in this own body bothers me. Did I tell you one lady called me a few years back? And she'd committed a sin. It's nighttime. She's weeping on the phone. And she said, told me what she had done. And she's weeping. She said, I feel so bad. I said, praise God. And she said, what do you mean? I said, I'm glad you can feel bad about sin. Most people can sin and feel good about it. There might be a little hope you feel bad about it. But if you don't feel bad about your sin, may not be no hope for you. I know that's not popular, but that's the way it is. Well, it's going to be a catching away, going to be a falling away, and it's going to be a taking away. Look at verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity is already work. In other words, the mystery of iniquity is coming to the fullness. The mystery of iniquity, that is, it's been working all these centuries. All the mystery of iniquity already work. Only he, Holy Ghost, only he who now lives will let until he be taken out of the way. Not taken out of the way. Now, I believe this, and you disagree, it's okay. A lot of people think the Holy Ghost goes out when the church goes out. But the Holy Ghost will be taken out of the way. The restraining work of the Holy Spirit is going to be like it was in Noah's day. When the Holy Spirit was grieved away, every thought of the imagination of man's heart became evil continually. That's all they thought about. So the Holy Spirit was taken away. Stop restraining people. You think it's bad now? Well, the Holy Spirit quits people. He's about to quit now, I think. But you know what? He's going to totally quit when the church goes out. Holy Ghost is going to totally quit restraining people. The tribulation is going to come, but there's going to be preaching of the gospel of the kingdom of heaven. There's going to be a lot of people submit to the gospel of the kingdom of heaven as it was back before the church. And going to be prepared for a kingdom. Not like us. We're the only dispensation that gets regenerated. We're the only the church is the only dispensation that gets regenerated. See, before the cross, a lot of people have asked me, you think Judas was saved? I said, well, none of them saved. The Savior hadn't died. 11 of them were safe, but they wasn't saved as we're saved, because the blood hadn't been shed. Holy Spirit hadn't come as a baptizer. Jesus plainly prayed that in John 17. Father, I've kept them now. This part. Now you keep them while I go to the cross. Is that what he said?
Amen.
They didn't have a new creature inside. Jesus breathed on them, they received the Holy Ghost. But the circumcision of the heart, without made without hands, started taking place in Acts chapter 2 when the Holy Ghost came as a baptizer. He changed his ministry.
Amen.
Jesus said, John baptized, why do you should be baptized in the Holy Ghost not many days hence? That's what they got. Baptism in the Holy Ghost. That's what you got if you're saved. You got baptized in the Spirit of God and put in the body by the baptism of the Spirit. As the church goes out, baptism of the Spirit stops. Different dispensation starts. It's the tribulation time. They prepare for a kingdom. That's why I said in Matthew 24, this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached in all the world for witness to all nations. Then shall the end come. Not the gospel of grace, the gospel of the kingdom. The kingdom was set aside. Israel was set aside, and the kingdom postponed. Now, as the church goes out, they start preaching the gospel of the kingdom. That's why they're all Jews. And it goes into all the world, and the great multitude responds to the gospel of the kingdom and prepare for the kingdom of heaven. And many of them gets killed. And many Christians getting killed now. There'll be multitudes of them get killed in the tribulation time. Could be a time like we've not seen before. At the middle of tribulation, when Antichrist takes his seat and demands worship as God, he's going to profess he's God, sitting in the temple, that's Jewish temple. He demands people to worship him. If they don't worship him, he's going to have them to be killed. You better be glad you're in the church age. I'm glad I'm on this side, aren't you?
Amen.
I'm glad I don't believe the church will go into tribulation. I think some of the church now thinks they're in it. And it might get so bad in America that we think we're in it. But we're not going into tribulation. That's the time of Jacob's trouble. We've got enough trouble now without getting into Jacob's trouble. That's Jacob's trouble. That's basically the last judgment on the nation of Israel. And when the Lord finishes up on that, they're going to be the head nation in the kingdom age. Israel is. They would destroy it now if they could. The Arabs would destroy Israel now if God would let them. The only reason they don't do it is God won't let them.
Amen.
He's going to preserve them. They're going to be the head nation in the millennial kingdom, and I think in the new earth, their name's perpetual. It's going to keep on lasting. Israel is.
Amen.
Praise God. They're earthly Israel. We're not earthly elect. We're heavenly people. The church is a heavenly body. Earthly Israel is earthly people. Their promises is earthly. Our promise is heavenly. We're heavenly people. We'll have the glory. We're promised to have a glorified body, fashioned like unto His body. I appreciate that. That's a blessed hope. Well, that's about all we can take. May God bless you. I appreciate the Lord His goodness, don't you? You know, if there was no heaven to go to, I'm glad I don't have to be here in the tribulation period and have to go to hell. If there was no heaven, I'm glad I'm saved. There is a heaven, immortal glory, but if there was no heaven, I'm glad I'm saved from God's wrath and eternal damnation.
Amen.
Have that assurance in my heart. You got that assurance in your heart?
Amen.
You better throw that religion away you got.
Amen.
That stuff you know that don't work and don't cause you want to be holy stuff, you better throw that away. If you can, better throw that away. You better Ask God to break your heart.
Amen.
Ask God to break it in. If you don't know beyond any doubt that you've been born again, you made a new creature, I'd get on my knees if I could and ask God to break my heart and my will. Help me to come to repentance and faith.